You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Gavin McGinnis will take over for me in the third hour of today's program. Jason Burmis will be hosting The War Room for me. And then we'll be showing an extended cut of Alex's appearance on the Sean Johnson podcast in the final hour of the War Room today. But we've got a lot to cover on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to continue with the Iran war, and then I'm going to get into sort of where it goes from here and the plans of the elite to throw all of Western Europe and America into a conventional global war against China and Russia and Iran, with the ultimate goal of finishing off a huge number of us, as well as getting everything else that they want. It's the Great Reset 2.0, and it's going to make the COVID lockdown look like a walk in the park. And of course, this weekend, one of the big topics of conversation was the attack on Alex Jones and others by Trump last week. And we've been over it a lot. I don't think I need to, relitigate it once again. But I do want to go to a video of Nick Fuentes responding to it, because I think he has a good response to it. Clip number 17 here. This is Nick Fuentes defending Alex Jones from Donald Trump. And I think he's exactly right. Let's watch.
And we've all seen it. How many shows has Alex Jones gone to the mat for Trump? In spite of what he knew, in spite of his reservations, in spite of his concerns, how many shows and how much flack did he get? And I say this because I'm most aware of Alex Jones' body of work. How much has Alex defended Trump, fought for Trump, went to Stop the Steal, supported him in 2016, said it was imperative to support him in 2024, defended him from the witch hunt, from the Russia investigation. And by the way, even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, when he was destroyed by the left and lost everything, and Trump was no help, Trump did not give Alex Jones a pardon preemptively when he could have after January 6th. Trump did not try to assist him in getting censored off of the internet in his first term, and Trump has done nothing in the second term to help Alex Jones in this ridiculous lawsuit and ongoing witch hunt in other matters from the DOJ and from the left. And this is how Alex is rewarded. Think of that. This is how he is rewarded. Trump doesn't help him. Trump doesn't do anything for him, and Alex has no influence. Instead, Trump is going to throw him under the bus literally the second that Alex expresses disagreement with Trump over a policy, which, by the way, Trump himself campaigned against. What does it tell you? This is the same thing that I have been saying from the beginning. From the beginning of this show, since the 2024 election, about Trump, and it is this: take your own side. Why are people loyal to Trump? Why would you be loyal to Trump? Do you not see who this person is? Trump is not a loyal person. He isn't, and never has been, ever. Hello? When will people wake up and realize this is not a loyal person? Trump is a treacherous person and always has been. Look at all of Trump's closest allies over the past 10 years. People like Jeff Sessions, people like Ann Coulter, people in the Trump organization. How many people have gotten involved with Trump? They were the first to endorse him, like Sessions, like Ann Coulter. How many people got sued, like Bannon, like Mike Flynn, like his campaign manager, whose name I forget right now. How many of these people got involved with Trump, lost everything, sacrificed everything on his behalf, were destroyed, only to be discarded, only to be backstabbed, thrown under the bus? It happens over and over again. And this is just what you come to expect with Trump. It's the scorpion and the frog. You can't take it personally. You can't hold it against him. It's in his nature. It's what he does. He stings these people. And you don't have to be mad about it, and you don't have to moralize about it, but you recognize this is a person in politics. He is not our friend. He is not the savior of Western civilization. He's not God. He's not your boss. He's not your dad. He's a politician.
He's not your dad. He's not your boss. He's a politician. That's really the way to think about it. Again, it's not personal, and it's not like we're about to become the left, right? And some people do that, right? Some people you can tell that they've sort of wanted to turn on Trump for a while, but they've held back. And then as soon as they turn on Trump, it's like they literally just become the left. They literally just go from like, yeah, Trump number one to like, he's got small hands and he works for Russia. And it's like, we're not doing any of that crap. Really, if Trump turned things around, if he stopped just continually, relentlessly destroying everything he's ever been given, destroying his legacy, destroying the possibility that we pull America out of the fire before we're burned to ash, we want him to succeed. We need him to succeed. And we're not about to, you know, become the left and the crap they say about Donald Trump. No, this is a matter of policy, and it's important that we stake our claim and that we plant our flag and we say, no, this is what we believe. And if you're against that, you're against us. It doesn't matter who you are. One of these flags would be America needs to stop prioritizing Israel and needs to stop going to war in the Middle East. We need to focus on the home front and solving the existential problems that we have here in America that are only getting worse and seem to have accelerated under the second Trump administration. Does this sound like unreasoning, low IQ, you know, what a nut job stuff? No, this is, we made a deal, you broke the deal. This is, we had an understanding, you betrayed it. You shouldn't have. That's the answer if you're mad of all of us, you know, jumping off the Trump train. The Trump train's off the rails. There's no point in being on it anymore. And at this point, it seems to be working directly against us. It's tragic, but that's just the case. We could go into more on this, but I guess this. This one phrase sort of sums it all up. Low IQ, folks. We're just low IQ. We're just big dummies. We just don't understand. We just can't possibly conceive of the big brain takes about how going to war with Iran was actually super intelligent 5D chess, and we're totally going to take their oil, and we're going to own China at the end of this. We're just too stupid to understand how that works, just like we were too stupid to understand how the Strait of Hormuz was never going to be shut. See, we said the Strait of Hormuz would be shut as soon as we started an open conflict with Iran. That's just how low IQ we were. We were so dumb, we didn't trust the experts. We're so low IQ, we didn't understand how a virus came from a wet market down the street from a level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety violations. That's our low IQ thinking going on here. So this is the new hat from thealexjonesstore.com. It's a simple message, comes across low IQ. It lets people know, lets people who you deal with out there in the real world, maybe they need to take it easy on you. You know, you're one of these types of people that think that a guy that ran on making America great again and avoiding Middle East wars, then turning around and going to war in the Middle East is a bad thing. They just let you know that you're that dumb. You're that stupid. You're that low IQ. You just can't figure it out. And the reason I love this is not just because it's the insult that Donald Trump said that we are now co-opting and owning. It's also the only argument I've heard for the last month. This is it. And I've ranted about this over and over on the War Room, but it's perpetual and continuous and very annoying. So I'm sitting here making very obvious to me reasonable arguments that are then proven out over and over again, like the Strait of Hormuz closing. And every time, instead of arguing back, instead of responding to the points I make, instead of illustrating to me where I may be missing the mark, I'm instead told that I'm retarded. I'm instead told that I'm just too stupid. I'm too low IQ to understand the sophisticated operation at play here. But I'm not. See, this is the thing. It's like how Donald Trump in his insult post says that the First Lady of France is more beautiful than Candace Owens. It's like, all right. You could have said a lot of stuff. You could have said a lot of things. You could have really tried to phrase that in a way that made sense. But no, you just said that Candace Owens is less attractive than Brigitte Macron, which means you're lying. Which means you're full of crap and cannot be trusted about whatever you're saying. So it's that type of thing. It's like, you can call me low IQ all you want. Do you think LeBron James gets mad if you say he's bad at basketball? You know? And this really is how it feels. And I again, don't know how to express this to people that use this insult. But, like, imagine, just imagine, if you were to go out and write a post saying that the sky is blue. Or what, water is wet. You know, whatever. The sky is blue. And then you had a bunch of people in your comments going, you idiot. I can't believe you think the sky is blue, you moron. Are you going to start questioning yourself? Are you going to go, wait, am I stupid? I mean, these guys, they're so, I don't know. I thought the sky was blue, but now they're telling me I'm done for blue. No, you would just be like, what? You'd just be like, oh, no, but the sky's, what are you talking about? It doesn't even make sense to call me stupid for this. It's just abundantly true. What are you talking about? That's how it feels. It's literally how it feels to just say the truth and have a bunch of people call you dumb. So we'll wear it with honor. We will wear it with a badge of honor. We're just too stupid to understand. We're too low IQ to understand the brilliant move that going to war with Iran was and that staying to war in war with Iran is. So you can get that new hat at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. It is the only way that we get any support at all. Let's go down to clip number 5 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu himself actually saying the thing about being kept up to date, receiving updates continually from the Trump administration, like he is the one in charge. Again, just absolutely infuriating and sort of a slap in the face of anybody who actually believes in American sovereignty. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu.
I spoke yesterday with Vice President J.D. Vance. He called me from his plane on the way back from Washington. He reported to me in detail, as the people of this administration do every day, on the development of the negotiations. In this case, the explosion in the negotiations, the explosion came from the American side, which was not willing to tolerate the blatant violation of the agreement to enter negotiations by Iran. Essentially, the agreement was that there would be a ceasefire and Iran would immediately open the crossings. They didn't do that. The Americans were not willing to accept it. He also conveyed to me that the central issue on the table from the perspective of President Trump and the United States is the removal of all enriched material and ensuring that there is no more enrichment in the coming years, and this could be for decades.
So again, that's just total confirmation of what Joe Kent said about the way that Israel was leaning on the Trump administration to move the goalposts, move the ultimate ask that they were demanding of Iran, with the intention of prolonging this war, because they need to prolong the war. Their survival depends on them taking out Iran right now. They do not have 5 years to come back in 5 years to try again. They're losing their support in America. They need to do it right now. They are not going to give up, and they will go to any lengths to achieve this. We are in very, very high alert, false flag territory as we speak. Now, apparently Donald Trump is doing a press conference and answering some questions about Iran and other things. Let's go ahead and go to that live. This is happening in D.C., I understand.
Talks planned with Iran, and if so, will you send Vice President J.D. Vance with?
Well, he's done a good job. It's Steve and Jared, they've all done a very good job. And I can tell you that we've been called by the other side. They'd like to make a deal very badly, very badly.
What was the sticking point over? You said it was over nuclear.
It was over nuclear. Very similar. Yeah, very good. I guess you're listening. It's over the fact that they will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran, you marking it down? Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. And we agreed to a lot of things, but they didn't agree to that. And I think they will agree to it. I'm almost sure of it. In fact, I am sure of it. If they don't agree, there's no deal. There'll never be a deal. Iran will not have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to get the dust back. We'll get it back either. We'll get it back from them, or we'll take it.
Mr. President, as far as the naval blockade is concerned, what's the end game? Is it to force Iran back to the negotiating table? Is it to open up the strait so that gas prices ultimately come down?
Maybe everything. I mean, both of those things, certainly, and more. We can't let a country blackmail or extort the world, because that's what they're doing. They're really blackmailing the world. We're not going to let that happen. And, you know, the amazing thing is we don't, can you believe this? We don't use the strait. We don't need the strait. We have our own oil and gas, much more than we need. We have more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. Think of this. We produce more. Saudi Arabia and add Russia to it, substantially more. And by next year, we'll have double that amount. So we don't need it, but the world needs it. And many ships are heading to our country right now as we speak, to load up with the best, really, I guess you could say, somebody said the best and sweetest. I don't know exactly what sweet is, but when it relates to oil, it's a good thing. But they're coming to our country. Right now, there are many boats coming to our country. Now, it could very well be this is going to be settled before then. We've been called this morning by the right people, the appropriate people, and they want to work a deal. They would like to work a deal.
Is it your anticipation, Mr. President, that other countries will assist in this effort to blockade Iran and those...
Yeah, other countries are going to also.
Which countries, sir?
We don't need other countries, frankly, but they've offered the services. We'll let it be known probably tomorrow.
Has the blockade started, sir?
Yeah, started. 10 o'clock.
Bishop Robert Barron. Bishop Robert Barron supports you and your policies. Praises you for defending religious freedom.
Yeah.
He now says you owe Pope Leo an apology. Do you apologize?
No, I don't, because Pope Leo said things that are wrong. He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result. You have hundreds of millions of people dead, and it's not going to happen, so I can't. I think he's very weak on crime and other things, so I'm not. I mean, he went public. I'm just responding to Pope Leo. And, you know, his brother is a big MAGA person, and he's a great guy, Lewis. And I said, I like Lewis better than I like the Pope. Now, you have to have law and order in our country, and that's what we have now. We have the lowest crime numbers we've had in a long time, despite the fact that many criminals were allowed into our country. But we've gotten a lot of them out. We've done a great job on crime. So we have the lowest murder rate in 125 years, since 1900, the lowest murder rate. So we believe strongly in law and order, and he seemed to have a problem with that, so there's nothing to apologize for. He's wrong. The other thing is he didn't like what we're doing with respect to Iran, but Iran is wants to be a nuclear nation so they can exterminate the world. Not going to happen.
Mr. President,
Iran,
if a deal is not reached by the end of the ceasefire, does your threat from before still stand?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that, but it won't be pleasant for them. Let me put it that way.
Do you still plan to charge a toll as you're straight
forward, sir? Has your timetable changed in any way in terms of ending this conflict?
No, it's going on. Right now, there's no fighting. Right now, we have a blockade. They're doing no business. I didn't like seeing boats come out if they were doing business with Iran, but if they weren't, no boats came out. So now Iran is doing absolutely no business, and we're going to keep it that way very easily. Don't forget, their Navy is gone, their Air Force is gone, their anti-aircraft is gone, their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone. It's a lot.
Do you still want to charge them?
Coming from predominantly going to China, President, have reached out?
No, but we have a very good relationship with China. He would like to see this ended also. He certainly wants it ended. Everyone, I want to see it ended too, but we can't give a nuclear weapon to a group of people that have caused nothing but havoc for 47 years. Look, I'm the president that's done something about it. this should have been. And many other presidents regret that they didn't. Yeah, so I'm doing something.
President, Ukraine impeachment documents that were declassified show that Eric Charanella not only submitted false information, but that he had no direct knowledge of the alleged conversation. All of your statements. Do you feel vindicated by those?
Yeah, documents? I do. They're a bunch of crooked people. You're talking about with respect to all of the things that they put against me?
Yeah.
Well, it's come out that in so many different ways. Thank you very much for that question. I appreciate it. But in so many different ways, the election was rigged. The 2020 election was rigged. We found that out. What you just said is just a piece of that. Mm-hmm. It's a big piece, but minor, relatively speaking, compared to what
all
they
right,
did.
Trump has no idea what's election. Going on. That's not at all what she was talking about. She's talking about the revelation from John Solomon and releases from Tulsi Gabbard about Eric Charanella, the whistleblower from the Trump's impeachment over the Ukraine phone call. Nothing to do with 2020. This happened in 2018, 2019. He apparently has no idea about this. Again, this is the danger. And this is the impression I get when I'm watching Trump. First of all, the man looks tired. The man looks gray in a way that he never has before. He's showing the office in a way that he never has before. Of course, it was always surprising because every president gets into office and immediately ages 10 years. Classic images of Obama, 3 years apart. He goes from looking like a bright young man to a weathered old man. Donald Trump never showed that, but he's starting to. It seems like something about the last couple of months seems to be weighing on him, and the stresses seem to be getting to him. But clearly, he is not being kept up to date on things. He thinks this was about the stolen election in 2020. That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about the impeachment with Adam Schiff and others. Now, maybe he just hasn't been briefed on that yet, but I think it goes to show that he's disconnected, that he's not actually keeping his finger on the pulse and doesn't actually get what's going on around the country. And the statements that he makes about Iran there, I think he believes them. And I think if you really listen to what he just said and take it for granted that he was telling the truth as far as he sees it, it kind of makes sense. It makes sense. If he genuinely thinks that he is preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and, quote unquote, destroying the world with it, like, where is he getting this from? It's just completely insane for him to believe this stuff. But if he actually believes it, it kind of makes sense. It's kind of making things make sense. That if he's sitting there going, I'm doing something that is saving tens of millions of people's lives, and these people just don't get it. They want me to be worried about, a couple of dead U.S. soldiers. I'm saving tens of millions of people right now. Now, if he really believes that, it at least goes some way to understand his mindset and make sense of his actions. But that's a lie. But he's believing lies. That really is the only question at this point, is he knowingly lying or is he being lied to? And it seems like with all of the evidence that we've gotten over and over again, he is being lied to. Why he would believe these lies, God only knows. He believed the lies that Benjamin Netanyahu told him about how quick and easy this attack would be. It's actually kind of funny. They ask him, has your timetable changed? It's like, and he's like, no, not really. It kind of has. It kind of has if you think about it. I mean, the timetable was originally a couple days. Then they said, actually, this will take 4 weeks. Now we're in the sixth week. So the timetable has changed, Trump. And of course, last week he gave a primetime address where he claimed, like he did right there, that Iran's anti-aircraft capability has been totally destroyed. They've got no radar, no missiles, no nothing. And then they shot down an A-10 Warthog and an F-35. And we had to mount an emergency rescue mission that I don't even think actually happened in the way that they said it did. So how can we believe that? Again, when you say something and then it is just proven to be untrue, and then you keep saying that thing, and you're just lying. So like, why? Why are you lying so blatantly? And I get, if he thinks he's saving tens of millions of people's lives, but it's like, You're not, Trump. No, you're driving us towards the conflict that will end in hundreds of millions of people dying because the insane people trying to take over the world are called Israel, and they're playing you like a damn violin, like a fiddle. You are now the fiddle on Benjamin Netanyahu's knee. We'll be right back, folks.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And then you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.